We are at the end. We've turned the final corner. We got the straightaway and the checkered flag is right down there. But beyond the checkered flag is the longer race. And that's what you're going to do with everything you decide about, right? I want to just go over three questions to end this today. Do you guys ever read, a question is a powerful tool. Because sometimes we can learn a lot, we can think a lot, we can be inspired, but the real issue is, what am I going to do? We need that question to call us and to evoke action. Any of you guys ever read the comic Hagar the Horrible?
Yes.
All right. One of my favorite ones was it showed Hagar and all the other Vikings running for their life. The next frame, Hagar goes, "Stop!" And they all stop. And he stands up in front of his men. He goes, "Men, we are Vikings. Remember what Eric the Brave did when he was surrounded by everyone. He didn't run." And someone from the back says, "What happened to Eric the Brave?" The next frame, they're all running again. Sometimes you just need a question to pull everything together, right? And so I've got three questions here, and I just want to go through these. And I hope you will write down the scriptures. I'll read some. But to put into effect the things that we are learning, the things that we will learn, how you answer this will be of utmost importance. Number one, will you respect the divine order? Have three passages here. We'll read Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. But write down 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through chapter 3, verse 7. And 1 John 5, verses 13 through 15. In Ephesians 5. Starting there in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. These scriptures were inspired and written after the fall in Eden. These were not written in Genesis 1 and 2. You know why? It didn't need to be written in Genesis 1 and 2. That's why. Everything was very good. Everything was perfect. This is a scripture for survival. Back in 1917, 18, when the Bolsheviks, or 19, probably 17, because they were still in the war, when the Bolsheviks took over Russia and decided, we're going to institute communism as the official social structure of, and political structure of what would become the Soviet Union, There were several problems with what happened then, but there's one problem. You see, Russia was engaged in a war at that time with Germany, the First World War. And so as the Lenin and Trotsky's, you know, the writings of Marx and all this start, you know, soaking through the army decided, you know what, we're going to become communists too. So they all, we're going to become your comrade. So what happened on some of the parts of the front is that, hey, comrade lieutenant, comrade general, there's no longer really any lieutenant or general. We're all comrades. We don't want anything representing any type of class. That lasted for a short while. Because all of a sudden, they were losing. I mean, it was a slaughter. You know why? Nobody was leaving. Nobody had to respond. They were trying to share turns on. So they decided, you know what? Time out. I'm going to be comrade general. You're going to be comrade lieutenant. You're going to be comrade sergeant. And you do this, this, this. And you know why? Because the nature of warfare was different than just society. It sounds great. Let's all become. But that's not the nature of warfare. You have got to have structure. You have got to have authority. You've got to have organization, or else it's chaos. The nature of warfare is chaos. The nature of sin is chaos. The nature of a sinful world. Women do not submit to their husband because he's greater. They do not submit to their husband because he's closer to God. They do not submit to their husband because he's better looking. He's smarter. He's more talented. I have seen that time and time again. A woman with a lot more talent than a man. A woman that had a more high-powered job than a man. But in their relationship, when all of a sudden they talked about it, the man had to make a decision, and he would do that. You know why? It's the nature of a fallen world. Somebody has got to be held responsible.
Yep.
And the real issue is, will you respect the divine order? Will you, well, husbands, will you lead? Let me give you a clue, husband, was a lead. If you ever have to tell your wife to submit, you're not a lead.
Yep.
Any idiot can do that. Any guy without character can do that. Any abuser can do that. Okay? Why do you think Paul kept going as Christ, as Christ, as Christ, as Christ, as Christ? Well, what do you do if you're not quite as talented or not quite as... You know what leadership is? My belief, one word, initiative. Initiative. We go into an intense relationship situation, counseling, things like that. People will look to Deb a lot of times. You know why? I set it up that way. I take the initiative. She is a lot better in relationships than me. She is a lot better. So what do? I put her in a position. I'm there to take all the bad stuff, all right? I'm the dummy. They get to punch the dummy. But I get her in the position to do what she does best.
Amen.
And people go away, man, she was amazing. She was awesome. Well, what about me? It doesn't matter.
Right.
See, God looks down and says, you did what you needed. You led. You took the initiative. You took the initiative. How about in conversations, take the initiative, guys? How about questions about the kids? Take the initiative. Take the initiative. Take the initiative. She may come up with the right answer all of the time, and you don't ever, but at least you got the ball rolling. Because in a self-centered, self-indulged, godless world, chaos reigns, and somebody's got to take a stand and go for organization. How do you know who the leader is? Watch when things are going wrong, kind of chaotic. It's the person who goes, hey, why don't we turn on the light? They may be you may be thinking, wow, you know, I wouldn't have expected that person. They're just the person that when chaos is there, let's do this. They have the, and maybe someone else can do it better, but they did it. Husband, love your wife. That is initiation. That is action. That is talking. That is creating the environment. but she's so much more talented. Amen. Hallelujah. God allows you to have someone like that in your life. This is not about domination. It's not about putting someone down. It's not about power. Power is all about sin and rebellion. Power is of Satan. It's about you thinking, as Christ does me, that is how I want to be for her. And wives,
someone has got to make a decision. There'll be times in your life you guys go back and forth, and any husband that's acting like Christ will want to hear everything. We'll be humble and understand, hey, that's a better idea. Let's do it. Takes the initiative. That's leadership. But there'll come times when finally somebody's got to make a decision. Are you going to respect the divine order? Will you do it? Because I tell you what, if you don't respect the divine order, you're going to have chaos in your house.
Yep.
You will have unresolved conflict. You will have tension. You will have an ambiance. And the thing is, your children will feel it. They will feel it. And what do? They grow up and they're having issues. How do they build relationships? They never saw mom and dad work together. They ought to see dad loving mom, mom loving dad. They don't even have to go to something. They just see how it's lived out. They see that dad respects mom too. The dad listens. But they also know that when all else is said and done, dad's going to make a decision. We're all going to go for it. He does it lovingly, but he also does it firmly. He does it. This is what we're going to do. And if it all messes up, the leader takes the initiative. I am sorry. That's on me.
Yep.
You know, the guys I really respect in football, I love it, is when a guy, when they make a mistake and they're going back to the huddle. You know, none of this. What a baby. Seriously. Grow up. But the guy that, my bad, I did wrong. Like,
yes.
That guy was setting an example. Guys, leave. Guys, your kids will bless you when they grow up.
That's right.
You know, sometimes those of us that some of our children aren't Christians yet, or maybe were, and will be coming back. I'll tell you what, they respect your merits. That will always be the thing that, well, you know, you ought to talk to my mom and dad.
Yep.
That's happened a lot of times. Okay?
Yeah.
Why? Because in this chaotic world, people want to actually see something that works.
Amen.
But it works because we respect the divine plan and the divine order there. Secondly, will you build? Remember the Florida house. You get the foundation right, but here's what you really want to lay. Will you build? Your marriage will not just happen. Disorder just happens. Chaos just happens. A marriage is something that is built. Four indispensable materials to build your marriage with. Number one, your words. Ephesians 4, verse 29. I talked about this in the men's class. How much unwholesome talk is allowed? Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up, that it may benefit those who listen. Your marriage, what you say is of vital importance. If you're sarcastic, that's toxic, it's demeaning, and it puts a person in their place. If you are without control in your mouth, you need to get control. All that means is you're without control in your heart. That's all that is. Okay? Your emotions are running you, and it should be God that's running you.
Amen.
So something's broken in there, and there needs to be reconnecting. But call it that, because your words, the things we say to each other, and the things we fail to say.
Yeah.
An opportunity to notice something. I'm not talking about flattery. But I am talking, you know what? Encouragement is such a powerful thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Putting courage in here.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that. I like the way you did that. Thank you for helping out. You know, I mean, when people say that to us, we're doing things in church, it just means something. Now, we don't do it to get the encouragement. But what it helps us know is we're going the right direction.
Amen.
I'm doing something that's good. Yep. All right? Rather than being left, oh, I hope this is good. And just, you know, do it. How much more in our marriage? If I don't say I love you, if I don't say things like I am so thankful I'm married to you, if I don't, well, I'm still here, aren't I? I mean, it's like, that's not. You know, she's thinking, man, he just doesn't want to go to hell. That's why he's here. You know? There may be a slight little truth in that, but you've got to say it. You know what's amazing? Our propensity to always look at the negative.
Yeah. That's right.
Yes.
And that's because we're our own God. That's the battle we're always fighting. You see, Adam and Eve said, hey, we want to choose what's right and wrong. So we'll do it. And so they left. And God said, okay, now it's on you. The responsibility of God.
That's right.
Run your life. And all of a sudden, everything's negative.
Yeah.
Why did you do this? Why didn't you do this? That's negative. Why isn't this working? Why? And life is just that way. And kids are brought up in an environment of that. And there's abuse. And there's like, it's like, what happened? Filled with words. Verbally. Think what is encouraging. Not flattery. Don't be fake.
Yeah.
But you ought to be able to pray, God, help me to know and to say the right things. See, if that's in your prayer, ooh, man, that's going right in there. That's building patience. Love is patient.
Yeah.
Man, he starts off with that, right? You know why? The thing about patience is a real sign that you're not God. See, when you're God, I want it to happen right now. What do you mean you're not going to do what I say? You know, I mean, it's like God. If I'm God, I want it now. Patience is like, you know what? She's growing. She's changing. She's had some bad days. Bad week. Okay. I've had some really bad days. Really bad weeks. Bad months. But you know what? She's still here. What can I do? Growth takes time. Change takes time. The importance is not that you change totally. The importance is that you're going the right direction.
Yeah, I do.
That's how it started. That's what I'm going the right direction. I'm not there yet. That's okay. None of us are. Man, we're heading the right direction.
Amen.
Patience. Forgiveness. We talked a little bit about this. Matthew 18:35, it's a promise. If I don't forgive, I won't be forgiven.
Right.
Forgiveness does not mean you forget, but it does clear the debris. What it means is you don't owe me.
Yep.
Watch it. It's a debt thing. It's a debt thing. If Deb hurts me and does something really, and she talks and, you know, she wants to get things right, so we're talking. I forgive her. She no longer owes me. She no longer has to assuage the pain, the whatever. She doesn't owe me that. She's like, no, I'm letting go because I don't want God to hold, you know, bring that up about me. But there's a problem. She's done something that's hurt. So what I do is I clear the debris, all right, by offering forgiveness. You don't owe me. But now for me to be fully vulnerable and start building some trust.
Yes.
It's not like you build trust, man. No, but it's like I want us to be close, but you know, trust has to be restored. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Sometimes people say, well, you know, I forgave you, or you know, I thought you forgave me. Why are you still? Did you not build some trust? Let's go back. They need to forgive, they need to let go of the debt. But don't say, well, just forgive and forget. You know, God removes our sins from us, all right? But he knows our weaknesses, what we can go back into. He just doesn't hold it. He doesn't hold the things against us, but he definitely wants us to go a different direction, right? Intimacy, Proverbs 5:15-23. talking about don't go after other people's water. That's the metaphor that's used. He then says, nah, you rejoice in the wife of your youth.
Amen.
Let her satisfy you. He's saying, why would you drink water from someone else's sister? Stay away from other people's wives. And wives, stay away from other people's husbands. Intimacy, you know what? It's you and her till death do you part.
Amen.
And that's it. Nobody else. But that needs to be a consistent thing. If you heard Deb's class and guys in my class, that's got to be intimacy. Has to be there. You've got to build it. It can't. This cannot be a partnership. You can't do this. This can't be a green card type thing, right? We're just doing it to accomplish another thing. No, we are together in God's eyes for God's glory.
Amen.
Intimacy. Will you build? And then the last question. Will you finish strong? Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. You know, sometimes when I read the scriptures, I try and visualize it. You know, and try, what would it be like to be sitting there? What would it be like to be with the Apostle Paul in that Roman cell? You know, it's funny. Deb and I, like Sharon, we went to Rome for a 40th. And I absolutely loved it for the same reason she did. But, you know, we saw what's now, there's now a chapel over the Mamertine prison where Paul was imprisoned before he was beheaded. But you know, the thing I love about Rome is when you're walking, you see the ruins among everything. The city's all around, then you have all these ruins in city, then all these ruins. It's amazing. But you see this, and what's so cool, even though I have differences with my Catholic friends, I will say this. Here was this once invulnerable empire. The greatest that man had ever done on his own power. Just unbelievable. Creating terror worldwide. Yet, you know, a connection. It was magnificent. It was amazing. See, but all these are a bunch of crumbled ruins. And what you see are churches honoring Jesus Christ all over the place. Some right on top of the old ruins. It's like, I wish Domitian could have had a peek in the future at this. I wish Nero could have done that. You know, all of their august, we'll kill these people, we'll stomp it out, and here their church, all of them. You can't keep running the church at the church at the church in this mighty thing. Paul's sitting in Mamertine prison, and he's writing this last letter to Timothy. And he tells him that, you know what, my time is drawing near. This is it. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. And I kept the faith. And now a crown of life is laid up for me. And not only for me, but for all who have longed for his appearing. They took everything away from Paul, and they literally took nothing away from him. Because nothing else mattered. He had his faith. He had his Lord Jesus, and he had his crown. So you did your best. Look who ends up on top. I usually, at this point in a wedding, wedding is the beginning. Marriage workshop. Is I usually bring these shoes. Because I like to show these shoes off. These, I want you to look at them. Oh, yoga. These are the last dress shoes I will ever own in my life. That's it. I will never buy another pair of dress shoes. This is symbolic of the fact that my time is drawing near. How near? I don't know. But at almost 65, it's a lot nearer than it was when, you know. I had friends of mine that did not make it to their 40th birthday. I had friends of mine that did not make it to their 30th. 50th. These days, I am regularly to my peers hearing, okay, who's got cancer, who's got, how much longer they had. It's just the way of life is now. So I know that, you know, right now, there's no way I've doubled my age. But the point is this. I don't wear these that much. And I found an outlet that sold these. So these things will last. At the pace I wear them, I'd have to be 195 before I have to get a new pair. So I just want you to know, make life real, keep it in perspective. These are the last dress shoes I'll put on. I don't have tomorrow, I got today. So the real question to me is, am I going to finish strong?
Come on.
Am I going to be like Paul? Everything was taken away from him, but he was more than a conqueror.
That's right.
Amen.
They couldn't really do anything to him. I wonder how frustrating that was to Nero and to other subsequent emperors that would, man, we almost got him exterminated, but it keeps coming back. And I wonder if that haunting thought of maybe there is this judgment day, they're saying, when all will give account. In your marriage, like what we said here, I don't care where you are right this second, where you were when you came in. I care everything about where you are going to be when you leave. That's all that matters to me. Now, it's your marriage, not mine, so why is that? I'm just trying to tell you, that needs to be all that matters to you. You've done a lot of things wrong. You've hurt each other. You've done that. Great. Now you know all the ways to not do it. You can check that off your bucket. This is how not to destroy a marriage and to really hurt somebody. But I don't think I can recover. You know what? I believe what Jesus said. I believe that. That the water he gives you, you will never thirst.
Amen.
You just got to answer the question, will you finish strong?
Amen.
Will you do that? Because that means you are going to be open to changing. That means you are going to put into practice things God has said. That means you are going to take that pain of yours, you're going to embrace it and take it and give it to God, get it healed. You're going to get help. You'll do whatever it takes.
That's right.
So that when one of you buries the other, or if you both go out in the same plane crash, it's going to be said, wow. You know what? No regrets. No regrets.
Amen.
We fought the good fight, not against each other, but against Satan, and against mediocrity, and against excuses, and against self-pity. We fought that fight. We finished the race. We didn't only compete. We finished it.
Amen.
We finished it. I'm ready to go. If God gives me some more days, hey, I can still improve and grow. But if he's taken me today, I've done what I could do.
Confess
in all my imperfections, and you promised. And you know what? We're together. That's what I want to do. If I have to bury her, I want to look down and say, no regret.
Amen.
She has to bury me. That's what I want for her. No regrets.
Yep.
And we kept the faith.
Amen.
We kept it with our Father in heaven. That's all that matters. The great God in whom we live, move, and have our very being.
Amen.
There is nothing else ultimately that matters except him and his plan to redeem us. And part of redemption is this blessed thing, a Christian marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That you and I get to be part of.
Amen.
Will you respect the divine order?
Mm-hmm.
Will you build? And will you finish strong?
Amen.
Amen.
How you answer that will determine what your marriage
is.
Amen. Thank you, God.